The U.S. Justice Department arrested a University of Arizona assistant basketball coach Tuesday. Emmanuel Book Richardson is one of four assistant coaches across the country who face corruption charges. Federal officials allege Richardson and assistant coaches at Auburn, Oklahoma State, and USC took bribes for connecting players to financial advisors and managers. Jun Kim is the acting U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York.
In exchange for bribes ranging from $13,000 to almost $100,000 each, these coaches allegedly pushed particular managers and advisors on the players and their families.
Kim said these coaches betrayed their players' trust.
As alleged, the coaches affirmatively lied to the players and their families. In talking to the families, they built up these professionals, some of whom they barely knew, with bald-faced lies.
Joining us now to talk more about this is Barry Zwerluga, sports columnist at the Washington Post. Barry, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So we have heard this morning that Louisville head coach Rick Pitino, one of the most famous coaches in college basketball history, is either on administrative leave or about to get fired. There were some other things related to his situation, but do you expect bigger heads to roll, not just assistant coaches?
I think that's one of the many open-ended questions that we're left with after yesterday. Pitino, as you said, is among the biggest names in the sport. He is the head coach at one of the most prominent programs in the sport, winner of the national championship in 2013, a program that under Pitino's watch was already on probation. So if there was any sort of malfeasance going on there, heads were going to roll more quickly. I think one thing that's important to remember here is that just because the feds arrested four assistant coaches yesterday, you cannot look at this as isolated cases that involve only those four schools. This is a way of life in the NCAA. This is a way of life in college basketball. The first book that delved into the kind of malfeasance that we see laid out yesterday by the feds came out in 1991. So I would caution fans to think if their school was not among the listed yesterday, that school is clean. And this is a very wide-reaching practice.
Well, let's get a little bit specific. What stood out to you about the allegations? And I'm asking it in sort of an open-ended way because many of us who are college basketball fans, sadly enough, laugh off certain things and say, well, of course these players are getting a car or something under the table because that's why they sign with these particular schools. This seems much more serious than that.
Well, I don't think it's more serious in terms of what the transactional nature is here. I think what's more serious about it is we're not talking about an NCAA investigation, which, you know, can really be toothless, and you have to kind of always look at those skeptically because you're talking about an association that is interested in making the most prominent programs, teams, coaches, and players available for their biggest event, which is the NCAA tournament. So there's almost a disincentive to find things wrong for the NCAA. This is criminal violations. These are crimes. And so when you're talking about the FBI, that kind of automatically comes with a greater than sign as it relates to the NCAA. To me, the fact that there are actual arrests makes this a much larger scale scandal than we're used to seeing with the NCAA.
And Barry, without knowing all the details, do you think that this came about because of a bigger sting operation? Because in part of what the U.S. attorney was talking about yesterday at the press conference, it had to do with the fact that there were recordings made, that there were informants and whatnot. Because it just feels like there are other universities where you wonder, how did they get this particular player to go there? Do you think in this case this was just such a concerted effort that this is what led to this result? Could there have been other efforts in the past related to these other things?
You know, so many of these things that lead to charges against athletes or coaches or get involved in criminal cases in the sports world come about because somebody is being investigated by federal or local authorities for something else, and then they turn and say, hey, well, I know some stuff about X, Y, and Z. If I help you, federal officer, will you not intensify the case against me? That seems like what's happened here. But I also think you're right in thinking we can't contain it to just the schools and just the people that are in that document. The interesting thing will be as people come forward, as these cases are brought forth, who talks and tells about what they know from where in the past? This is a very tangled web. You've got a sport, an industry, really, that has billions of dollars being pumped into it. The contract for the NCAA tournament TV deal is $8.8 billion through 2032, and you've got an basically unpaid workforce in the players. That almost is completely set up for corruption. It's almost surprising that we haven't had a federal criminal case until yesterday. I think we need to pay attention to this for a long time to come.
And Barry, finally, very briefly, is this something that, if it does have more tentacles, could this upend the sport? There are some people who point to the amateur nature of it, and that's why they still love college basketball. Could this take away some of that Pollyanna-ish aspect of it?
Well, I think the Pollyanna-ish aspect should have been scrubbed away a long time ago. I mean, I think
don't tell me that, Barry. Come on. Yeah,
well, I do think that, as I just said, if you're talking about an unpaid workforce and that sets up these situations where it's very appealing for a potential player or family to take $100,000 for a year as a bridge before they get to the NBA, that's kind of set up for this kind of these kinds of transactions. So I think we're just at the tip of the iceberg. I think we're going to see more.
Barry Svrluga is a sports columnist at the Washington Post. Barry, good to talk with you. Thanks.
Thanks very much.